If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad Hussain's program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei for quite a while now, and let's continue along the same line in this episode too. Let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode. Can women with religious problems enter the shrine or even the porches during pilgrimage?
Right. Well, this is an issue which is frequently asked about.
Yes.
By ladies. A menstruating woman who gets their period, okay, is not allowed as a measure of obligatory precaution to remain under the dome or in the area directly around the grave of the infallible imams. And it makes no difference whether that imam is Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam or any other imam, for example, in Iraq or elsewhere. So she may enter the surrounding courtyards, porches, and
yes.
Yeah, and areas far from the grave, as long as they are not considered part of a mosque. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult, to be honest. It's very difficult to make sure that a certain part of the shrine is part of a mosque or not. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ladies can ask the people working in the holy shrine, the staffers, whether the areas they want to enter is part of a mosque or not. So generally, if they happen to enter, they should quickly exit that area from another door. One entering from one door and leaving from another door without having to pause in that area, which is considered to be mosque.
So, just a quick interruption, sorry for that. Normally, when you enter the shrine, you would see some tags and signs saying,
right.
For example, this is this mosque or
yes.
This is that mosque.
Right.
Usually, there is this sign showing or saying, for example, you have entered this area of the shrine which has been consecrated as a mosque.
Right, that's good.
So it's very easy to know now, to learn about it.
If that is the case,
yes.
Then ladies have no problem. They
yes.
can enter from one door and leave from another door,
right.
Without having to pause
yes.
or to halt there.
Yes, they have to hurry actually from one side to the other.
Yeah, as far as the porches are concerned, the courtyards are concerned, they are allowed to stay there and to engage in any kind of supplication,
or
reciting the
religious
Holy Quran.
Services, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah.
guide me all the way to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad Hossein. This program and Sheikh Tawheed, our guest this week. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Tawheed, what is the ruling or religious law in relation to putting the Blessed Name's sticker on the disposable cups or containers that are distributed for free? Normally at special stations and mourning ceremonies. And during these mourning ceremonies, they are distributed among the pilgrims, usually, or those people who refer to them, for example, to drink tea or a kind of syrup or sherbet. Right. Sometimes there is a certainty that the containers, these cups, will be thrown away or littered away by people. So what's the religious law about this?
Well, printing or placing the blessed names like Allah, Muhammad, or Ali, or the infallible names of the infallibles,
yes,
on those disposable dishes or containers is not impermissible.
Mm.
I mean, it is permissible in and of itself.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can see some kind. There are cups. There are containers with God's names on them.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But once the containers are used, they must be treated respectfully. Respectfully. The responsibility lies on the one who receives the container, the cup, the dishes.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
And he has to ensure that those containers do not are not disrespected. And he has to make sure that he does not desecrate the sacred names, for example, by discarding them in a disrespectful way,
mm-hmm.
which is forbidden, or throwing, dumping them into the garbage can, which is obviously sometimes very dirty and very impure. So, and also, of course, His Eminence has stated that care must be taken to avoid insulting or degrading the blessed words. Sometimes, for example, if you are in the West, or maybe even if you are in a country like India,
mm.
and you know there are non-Muslims around you, they come and take the cups with God's names, with Allah's name, with the Prophet's name on it. So they just drink and eat the things, mm. and then they throw away.
Yes.
It's not permissible to give these items to those non-Muslims who will end up throwing those containers into the garbage can.
Mm.
And that definitely amounts to desecration. Mm. It's not permissible.
I see. Okay. If the price of a product increases after the transaction, is it permissible, religiously speaking, for us to receive the appreciation from the customer?
Well, once a sale has been completed, the price is fixed based on the original agreement. If the value of the product rises later, it is not permissible for the seller to demand additional payment from the customer. Because the transaction has already been conducted.
Mm.
There's nothing left, and the time has passed, and both the seller and the, of course, the buyer have no right to rescind, to revoke the contract, and so the seller does not have the right to demand, of course, extra amount of money, additional repayment. And of course, this ensures fairness in trade and protects buyers from unjust claims after the sale. And this is clearly stated in the Book of Islamic Law.
Yes.
That the seller cannot demand extra payment.
We're going to come back after a short break momentarily.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Chavid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Chavid, which types of marine animals are halal to eat?
Well, from an Islamic perspective, halal, there are a lot of seafoods which are halal.
Yes.
But there is a big difference between us and Sunni Muslims when it comes. They eat fish that do not have scales. It is permissible for them to eat fish that have scales and do not have scales. Mm.
So Shia scales Muslims, is not the standard for that.
Yeah, scale is not a condition for making
it haram or halal.
Yeah, for that seafood to be halal.
Yes.
So Shia Muslims living in the predominantly Sunni populated countries are very much under the impression that it is okay, it's quite okay to eat any kind of seafood, any kind of fish with Sunni Muslims eat. That's not the case according to Shia standards and according to Islamic law as explained by the religious authorities.
Mm.
Only that fish which has visible scales, and of course shrimp also, are halal. And also there are some seabirds which are halal. And I don't know the names of those seabirds. Okay, His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, has said that some seabirds, okay, which flap their wings, of course, are halal. And when it comes to haram fish without scales, like catfish, shark, eel, and all those creatures, such as crab, lobsters, oysters, clam, squid, and whale, of course, these are haram to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, these are very important sources of food.
Yes.
But not for Shia Muslims.
Mm.
For Sunni Muslims, okay, they can eat anything. We are not supposed, because they act according to their jurisprudence.
Yes.
We cannot eat lobsters, which may be even delicious to eat.
Mm.
Okay. Oyster, clam, squid, and whale. For example, if you go to Japan, because Japanese people eat a lot of seafood, like even they consume whales.
Yes. They are famous for it.
Yeah,
yes.
They are famous. And so we cannot follow their footsteps in terms of eating the seafoods that they eat. The distinction is based on explicit narrations from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, when it comes to what kind of seafood we can eat.
There's only one exception, if I may actually squeeze in this piece of information.
Yes.
And scales, in fact, as you said, is the condition for the sea animals or the seafood and fish to be halal for Shiite
right.
school of thought, right? But there's only one exception, and that is the shrimp.
The shrimp, yes.
They don't have the scales, but they are halal.
But I don't think it is considered to be fish, is it? It's not fish.
It's a seafood.
It's a kind of seafood, yes. And shrimps are halal to it.
Yes.
And of course, maybe there are some fish which have lost their scales over time. Okay?
I see.
But they are from the category of scaled fish.
Yes.
Okay, in that case,
true.
Even if they do not have scales,
mm-hmm.
when they are hunted or caught from the sea,
right.
It is still permissible to consume or to eat them.
And how about the special equipment that you have, if you can or are able to see the scales, even if they are so tiny that cannot be actually discerned by the naked eyes?
I think when it comes to identifying
the scales,
we need to ask the fishermen. They can help you
yes.
do they have experience? And of course, we ourselves, I think we cannot identify the halal fish from the haram one, unless this, the scales are there to be seen.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, and thank you, my dear listeners, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. From me, Muhammad Javed, the host of the program, and our dear guest speaker, Sheikh Javed, and the rest of the crew, which farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.